Books of the Bible. The Book of Proverbs is a collection of memorable sayings meant to encourage wisdom for godly living. Each proverb is to be understood on its own, and then in light of the rest of the book, and finally the whole Bible. When you desire wisdom, look to the Book of Proverbs, which reminds us that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Double the pleasure, double the fun. Welcome back to Doublemint Wretched Radio. Two offerings for your consideration that I hope you will enjoy. Number one, be looking for our YouTube video on the 10 reasons. I think it's 10. A lot of reasons why the kids are behaving the way that they are on university campuses. I do believe it is helpful in that we can offer them something to fill that void. No, I'm not talking about seeker sensitivity, where Jesus becomes the stopgap to make sure that you feel full on the inside. No, but Christianity does speak into the longings of a generation. It's so obvious. They want something to be a part of. Hello? Hello? We're over here. And all we need to do is get to the university campuses. Besides, the university campuses, which have been a hotbed of liberalism for decades, are still just about the last bastion of freedom for evangelism. Yeah, sometimes the police will overreach, but overall, you can engage the kids. And it has been my experience over the decades, the kids want to talk. In fact, going back to the Trevin Wax article that I was reading, that Gen Z wants a serious faith. The kids don't want it watered down, and Jesus never did that. It's so staggering. I mean, you almost have to turn it into almost, of course, not like potty talk, but just crude language to get the point. Jesus is preaching. He did the Sermon on the Mount. He's doing miracles. We have three of them recorded, and then a bunch of other healings that aren't described, and demon possessions, they're being cast out. And then just like, boink, where did this come from? Jesus saying to the scribe who said, I'll follow you anywhere. I don't have a bed. I don't have a pillow. That's what you're in for. Please note, the gospel has no demands. The gospel is a gift, but the demands of discipleship, we need to be ready to pay the price. Isn't that what he was saying in the Beatitudes after he gives a descriptor of what a true Christian is? Blessed are those who mourn for their sin, etc. What can we expect from that persecution? Those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. We got to act like Jesus and tell people. But then we need to tell them why he is worthy of our surrendering of self. Because he's the cause. Jesus isn't a cause. He's the cause. Young people need to hear this. That Jesus Christ is the reason for everything that we experience in reality. Everything, including you. Let me show you how. Let me show you what this faith is actually about. And I'm telling you, they are like empty vessels. They will guzzle it down. Let me take you back. This is well worth hearing, because if you've been flirting with seeker sensitivity or thought, hey, we need to kind of lighten up church a little bit. We need to show people that, you know, we're just regular folk, which, fine, but that shouldn't water down the sobriety of church and the call of the disciple to bigger things, to greater things, to grander things, to excellent things. Yes, Jesus wants it all. He demands it all. But wow, this shouldn't feel like, well, he's kind of putting a gun to my head. No. Well, okay, there's eternal judgment, but what he wants to offer you is good. He wants to offer you the best. You and I, we have a tendency to desire the lowest things. They're not bad things necessarily, but that it's like, that's getting my belly full, having a really good meal, watching my Netflix, just enjoying my weekend. Nothing wrong with any of those things. Jesus just wants better. Jesus wants the best stuff for us. Is he worthy? Well, let's see, is he worthy? Well, there was nobody else could break the seal to open the scroll that contained the deed to planet Earth. Oh yeah, Jesus is worthy. He's worthy because he's the best, and the blessings that flow from doing it his way. Oh, if you happen to be young, I the world is just exploding in front of you in so many ways. And you're trying to sort it. I'm telling you, do it Jesus' way, and you'll chart your course. It'll make sense of everything. But here's the challenge. You're going to have to deny yourself. You're living for your lustful desires. Gone. Jesus doesn't want those as a part of his package. He wants you to kill those things because they're not good the way you're doing them. They're good, but not the way you're doing them. So he's going to say, stop doing that way. Start doing it this way because this is the better way. And you don't know what profound is until you do it his way. His way is just, there's a couple in our church, 42 years of marriage, had dinner with them on Saturday night. Just absolutely delightful. That's a better thing. That's a more excellent way. That doesn't happen by itself. Jesus has taken them there. And they enjoy sweet things you can't imagine. You can't imagine at the moment. So what you'll have to do is trust God when he says, do it my way, it's the best way, because he only wants the best for us. That is his desire. Commit to him. Do not be the Psalm 1 double-minded man. This is so common these days, and I get it. I get it. You don't want the world to think you're dorky. So you kind of keep a foot over there just to be, you know, kind of cool. And then you got a foot in Christendom. And that's a deception. You don't have a foot in Christendom. You have both feet in the world because you're unstable in all of your ways. Commit. Be the man who loves the law of the Lord, who does what it says. And guess what the promise is? You'll be like a tree planted by the river. That is the promise that Jesus Christ gives to you when you die to self and live for him, the better way to live. And that message is resonating. And Trevin Wax talks about it in his article, Gen Z and the Draw to a Serious Faith. To be clear, seriousness doesn't refer to a somber sensibility or dour expression. Ooh, that's all self-righteous. No, a gravity, a weightiness in our worship. And that eternal stakes are involved here. And it doesn't matter if it doesn't happen to be your particular musical flavor. What's being sung and communicated? Think on those words. They should be profounder than, he loves me, yeah, yeah, yeah. He loves me, yeah, yeah. You know, that's kind of catchy. It's repetitious. I think that could work. Seriousness is the one thing that can break through the irony-laced meme culture of Gen Z. Younger people instinctively recognize when someone is showy and superficial, and they know when someone's trying to sell them something. And our current methods and strategies, too often built around what older people think young people want. They want jokes. They want skinny jeans and untucked shirts. They want a cool beard. Whatever it is, we're guessing. Let's ask them, what do you want? And I'm telling you what they want because I've talked to them. And I see them on the university campuses rioting. Why? Because they want something and they're not getting it. They're simply not being given the opportunity to step into bigger works. We got that message. We have that offering that you can have an otherworldly life that is higher and more, not a Gnostic way, but God's way. Built on something more durable than the latest trend. Wax. Young people want to be courted by the church, welcomed into fellowship, entrusted with responsibility, shown they matter. That should be natural. But more than anything, they want to be ushered into splendor, not superficiality. They're looking for an antidote to the shallow life of swiping and scrolling through endless entertainment. Can't help but think about architecture again. Look, not, don't feel like you've got to go get the wrecking ball and tear down your church if it's contemporary looking. But what the kids are experiencing when they step into a Duomo? Oh, whoever did this, they had loftier ideals. They had deeper thoughts. They understood something transcendent. Maybe, just maybe, if that, not the right reason, but if that becomes the trend, maybe we'll get back to building churches that are like, whoa, this thing actually speaks and says something. What does a generation, asked Wax, crippled by anxiety, given over to digital compulsions and performative impulses, broken by relational fallout due to the corrosive effects of diminishing moral boundaries, what do they need? A clear and compelling vision of morality. A serious faith that's meaningful and rooted. And his plea is, let's call up the next generation and the generation after that and the generation after that. Not because it's a response to the trendiness of Gen Zers, but because that's what the Bible, that's what Jesus does. Calls us up. Don't be worried. Let the dead bury the dead. That's like, bang, what? Let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. Or he was simply saying, don't wait the year so you can get your inheritance. Don't delay because I'm the best thing. Don't be longing for money. Long for me because I'm the best. That's the message and the offering of Christianity. And this generation needs to hear it. This is Wretched Radio. Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
As you know, we've been sharing with you some big changes that are coming very soon here to Gospel Partners Media. 8 new powerful voices will soon be joining the fold. It's our biggest and boldest move yet. Imagine a Christian version of the Daily Wire. Well, that is what's on its way. These men that are joining our ministry will be creating compelling content that will speak truth into our darkening culture. I'm talking about men like Pastor Brad Bigney, Tim Challies, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Andrew Walker, Dr. John Kratz, and others. But here's where you come in. We need your help to make this vision a reality. We're in the middle of a $250,000 match campaign. Every dollar you give will be double. We know you have questions and we have answers available right now at wretched.org/fellows. That's wretched.org/fellows. And remember, while we would love to have your financial partnership, we cover your prayers even more. Wretched.org/fellows.
You're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry. Oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor, poor, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years, and it's growing like a nobody's business, and it is a testimony to their faithfulness that over 50% of the Tomorrow Club volunteer leaders were Tomorrow Club kid attendees. Now they, in their villages, are teaching the kids the gospel as volunteers for the Tomorrow Clubs. I gotta tell you, that is a testimony. If you love supporting evangelistic ministries that are faithful, that actually preach repentance and faith, it's an outstanding ministry. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Attributes of God. God is a person. He is not a detached, impersonal force. He is a conscious, self-aware being with a mind and a will. He has made himself known through Scripture, and most of all, he wants you to know him personally. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And now, the man who needs hymns explained to him. This is... How cheap of a shot was
that? You talking about me?
I'm talking about you. You still love the explanation of the hymns before singing the hymns.
Yeah.
Heretic. You wanted to comment about the kids and one of the comments of the quotes from Trevin Wax's article.
Oh, yeah. I was saying during the break that I think there's something to what he said about young kids wanting to be courted by the church. Because from my experience in a Southern Baptist world, and that doesn't mean that all churches are like this, but, you know, kids are seen as extensions of their parents, more or less.
And rather than little humans.
Right. And not evangelized individually unless you have VBS. And it's not really even individually, you know, evangelizing them individually. It's a mass thing where we want them to fill out cards at the end and we'll do a big group baptism service.
And that's about the extent of it.
Yeah.
And then so we go back to adult church.
Right. Correct.
Now, I think we should always be doing adult church, but we should be incorporating them, that they should be participating in the worship. I didn't say leading it, but being in it. And when we do break out in sessions, that we treat them like adults. Kids want to be treated like adults. That's what causes us to advance as children. I want that world. I want to be in there. And I'm not saying it's true of every church. It isn't. But in so many churches, the segregation of generations has, I don't know that it's borne all of the fruit that we were hoping for. Kids want to feel like adults. That is why I still love the phrase, we aren't raising children, we're raising adults. We're trying to help you turn into this as fast as possible. There are so many simple ways that you can actually do that. Take a little time after church. Take a little time before church. I understand busy, getting ready, Cracker Barrel, all of the commitments on us. I get that, but if you showed up 20 minutes early, you're going to find a teenager or a 10-year-old you could talk to, stick around afterwards, and find them. In fact, I have found such joy in doing this, and I've learned something because I used to feel a little bit torn. I'll be standing with the parents, and there are the dutiful kids, and you can tell church kids, they're amazingly compliant, and they stand and they just wait because they know mom and dad talk, and they've just learned that's the way that it is, so they endure it. But I've learned talking to the kids is actually something that the parents enjoy, because I thought, well, if I give my attention to the kids, they're going to think that I'm ignoring them. No. Don't you love it when an adult takes interest in your child in a mature kind of way? You know what that says? It says, I care about your kid and I care about you. So it's a double winner. Just talk to kids. Ask them questions. Yeah, it's going to be a little tricky because they're used to surface answers, just like the rest of us are. What's going on at school? Hey, what have you been looking at? Anything good on TikTok? Anything good in social? What are you learning there? Got friends, hobbies, relationships? Okay, got to ask because we're in church. You reading your Bible? How come? What's going on? Take an interest in them. And furthermore, don't dumb it down. All of these sermons, these seeker-sensitive sermons that have been designed to just get people to stick around, and then maybe, just maybe, someday we'll get to the hard truths. It's not the way Jesus did it. And frankly, it's not the way that works, because anybody who's thinking, who came to church and heard nothing but pablum from the pulpit, and then maybe in a small group or Bible study or just reading their Bible by themselves, they read, let the dead bury the dead, put your hand to the plow, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow after me. Hey, why didn't they tell me that? This is hoodwinkery. That's right, hoodwinkery. And they can become embittered by that. We've shielded the hard things, but simultaneously, the hard things are the big things. People want that because that is the way that the Lord made them. This is a generation that they need I don't think that it's just the parents who have relegated the children to social media. I think we've just kind of we've kind of let the kids go in a great number of ways. And I think that there could be a pretty quick remedy for this, and that is simply taking some time to spend time respectfully engaging young people. And might I add, get them involved. Could you show up here every Sunday 30 minutes early? Those signs need to be out in front, and I need a man who's going to be reliable and who can set them up straight so that they don't look like somebody was drunk when they put them out there. Could you handle that? Call them up. Give them stuff to do. Hey, Sunday morning, when we get here, sometimes there's some rooms that could use a little vacuuming. Are you an observant young person? Could you see like the stuff in the rooms? Could you be the one in charge of making sure that it doesn't look like there were kids at the Pizza Hut? Do Pizza Hut still exist?
They do.
At the Chuck E. Cheese's just throwing their goldfish around. Could you handle that for us? Get them engaged. And by the way, that's going on in our church. I see it. Good dads that are bringing their kids and getting them involved. And you might observe that and go, well, the kids don't like that. Yes, they do. And if they don't say it or they act all, have them do it. You'll be shocked at how it pulls them up. They want responsibility. We should be giving it to them. Suicide is on the rise for young Americans. This is from BBC. Headline, with no clear answers. Pick me. 50,000 suicides registered in the U.S. last year. Guess who the number one demographic is? Leading cause of death among Americans under the age of 35. That's from the CDC, if and you still believe them. Calls to 988, which is a hotline, a suicide hotline number, they can't handle it. More than 200 centers across the U.S., increased by 100,000 per month in the last year alone. Just find a kid. Chances are real good. They're hurting. This is, okay. And it's, I know it's easy to maybe mock this stuff. For Christian raised in high control settings, read Christian, elections may trigger religious trauma. Okay. Because of the mingling of politics and evangelicalism. In other words, the kids, they see the election, they hear talk about the election, and it just causes such trauma because they don't believe those things like their parents once did. An election causes trauma? They're hurting. How's about this? Headline from the article is mysticalraven.com. I make more than $600 a month renting one side of my bed to lonely strangers. People are lonely. Yeah, no, you heard that right. You gave me that face like, what?
Yeah.
You come and sleep in my bed, and it's apparently nonsensual, but they just want to be with a human being. They want a warm body. And they're willing to pay $600 a month. That's the upcoming generation. Do we maybe have something better than sharing a bed with a complete stranger to offer with the only religion that is true and right? Smartphone bans, student outcomes, and mental health. A Norwegian Institute of Public Health study. Banning smartphones significantly decreases the healthcare take-up for psychological symptoms and diseases among girls. Because girls are more influenced, don't think that the boys aren't, but the girls even more, when they are banned from their cell phones, guess what? They don't have as many psychological symptoms. Post-ban, so in other words, when a ban was put in place, that was what the study was, don't let the kids have the phones, bullying among both genders decreases. You mean they're taking their cues from electronics and it's not bearing good fruit? This is a study that I think should cause all of us to go, what am I exposing my child to? And please note, we are being very naive and unwise if we don't ask the same questions about ourselves. A switch does not flip when you turn 18, and suddenly social media, electronics, that burst of good feeling in your brain when you get a text, like that goes away when you're 18? Nope, it's there. It affects us too. We're naive if we think so. Just this morning, driving in, saw woman walking her dog, kind of staggering down the sidewalk, not because she was drunk, but because she's on her cell phone. Walk your dog. Enjoy outside. Just heard Tucker Carlson speaking on that. It was actually quite compelling. Just think. Enjoy your dog. Enjoy the beautiful weather. Nope, gotta have my face in my phone. Post-ban bullying goes down. Girls' GPA improves. And their likelihood of attending an academic high school actually increases. This, and by the way, not just a little, a lot-al. Banning smartphones leads to a significant decline at the intensive margin for the number of consultations regarding treatment for psychological symptoms and diseases by 60%. What's the matter with kids today? They're getting all of their information and their worldview from all the wrong places. Let's not be a wrong place. Let's be a place that loves those kids and calls them up the way Jesus does. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.